Please turn with me again to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, and that's on page 979 of the Bibles provided for you. The Bibles in the pews probably fall open to this passage by this point. But Ephesians 6, we'll read verses 10 through 20. We started working our way through the armor of God last week. And this week we come to the breastplate of righteousness. And as we go through this series, as we go through these pieces of armor that God gives us, remember why we need this armor. Remember that you have spiritual enemies who will attack you. And so as I read through this section, think about why you would need a breastplate of righteousness in this spiritual war. Ephesians 6, we'll read verses 10 through 20, but we'll be focusing on verse 14. This is the Word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We'll end our reading of God's perfect word here. Advertisers know that customers choose products based more on emotion than logic. We buy things because it feels good. We buy things because we associate them with happiness or security, or we buy things because we associate not having them with sadness or insecurity. Some of us like to think of ourselves as fairly rational thinking people, that maybe we're above some of those kinds of things. But whether you like it or not, God has created us with emotions. And those emotions play a critical role in the decisions that you make. It's no surprise, then, that Satan will try to use your emotions against you. Satan doesn't just attack you logically. He doesn't just attack you with pain and suffering. Satan is a manipulator who goes for the heart. But friends, God has not left His people without protection against these attacks on our emotions. He's provided a defense against the attacks of discouragement and despair and hopelessness. And Paul calls this protection for the heart a breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate of righteousness. So friends, protect your heart with God-given righteousness. Protect your heart with God-given righteousness. Now this morning, I want to establish first why you need this protection, and then I'll tell you more about what this protection is. So first of all, your heart needs protection. Your heart needs protection. Paul describes a breastplate here. The word he uses here was used for a number of different kinds of armor that protected you from the neck down to your hips, both in the front and the back, what's sometimes called a cuirass or a cuirass. And it covered a bunch of different types of armor. It could have been leather or plate metal or chain mail or scale armor. The point here isn't the the type of armor itself. The point is what it protects. Because you wore that armor in battle, just like we wear bulletproof vests today, to protect the vital organs in this part of your body. The breastplate protected your heart, your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, your intestines, all the important organs in this part of your body. And that may be fairly obvious, but what you may not know is that those organs in that part of your body in Paul's day were associated with different emotions. The emotions that we might associate mostly with the heart were associated with different organs in the body. And we see this in the Bible. Our translations don't usually show this, but in Psalm 73, Psalmist says, "When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart," is how we translate it, "but when I was pricked in my kidneys," is what it literally says. And then in Isaiah 63, Isaiah is appealing for God to show compassion and mercy, and he says, "Where are your zeal and your might, the stirring of your inner parts," literally your intestines or stomach, "the stirring of your inner parts and your compassion are held back from me." And in fact, one of the words for compassion in the New Testament is literally the word for bowels or intestines. And some of the same connections were made with the heart as well. But the heart included more than what we think of as the heart. It was believed that the heart was where the inner person was, where your will was, your desires, your motives, inner thoughts and motives. And all of this, I'm going over all of this to help you understand that when Paul talks about a breastplate here, he's talking about protection for all of these different emotions, for protection for that part of your spiritual self. In our thinking and language today, most of those emotions, as I've said, are associated with the heart. And we often differentiate between the heart and the head, between your emotions and logic, or your emotions and your thinking. And we connect emotion with our hearts. And that's not exactly the way that Paul thought about things. But it's convenient that a breastplate covers your heart as well as the other emotions, or the other organs that Paul associated with these emotions. So we can go with this metaphor and say, this breastplate covers your heart, covers your emotions. And by saying we need a breastplate, Paul is saying you need protection for your emotional self, for your heart. Evil spirits will try to hurt you by attacking your emotions, by trying to bring you down, by trying to cause you to despair. And you need something that will protect that part of you that's under the surface, a part of you that motivates you to do things even without thinking about it sometimes. Our emotions can be manipulated. As I've said already, advertisers use this all the time. Now, Coca-Cola is one of the most recognizable brands around the world. And you may have noticed that in Coke's recent ads, they're pushing this idea that Coke brings people together. And it's very subtle, but they always show, anytime someone's drinking Coke in a billboard or on a TV ad, they're happy, they're laughing, and they're with people. And they've got friends. And it makes you think, well, if I have Coke, I'm going to have friends, and I'm going to feel happy and laugh, and I'm going to have sunset rooftop parties with my equally happy and well-dressed friends. This is the message that they're teaching you with subtly and trying to target your emotions. This isn't a logical argument. These aren't logical advertisements. They're going for your heart. Now, I'm not here to preach about the dangers of advertising. I'm bringing this up to help you see that your heart can be manipulated. It can be affected without even necessarily thinking about it. You need to actively keep your emotions safe from manipulation. So before we go on to the protection that God gives us, ask yourself, are you aware that your emotions can be manipulated? Are you aware of the ways that they are being manipulated? Do you allow your emotions to drive your decisions, or are you in control of your emotions? Think of the times when you've let your emotions drive you to do something that you know is wrong. Maybe you've said, I know this is wrong, but I feel like doing it. Or maybe, I feel like doing this, so how can that be wrong? We are in a feelings and emotion-driven culture right now. Satan doesn't just attack you with logical arguments. He hits at our weakest point, wherever that is, And that might be in your emotions. Especially for those of you in my generation and younger, you've been told over and over again to follow your heart, to listen to your heart. That should be your basic foundation for your thinking and acting, is to follow your heart. But the reality is your heart still has sin in it. Your heart may deceive you, and evil spirits may be influencing your heart, seeking to manipulate your emotions. Be aware that you need this protection of your heart. So if your heart needs protection, then how does the armor of God protect your heart? Paul says here that you need righteousness to protect your heart. And there are two different kinds of righteousness you need, and so we'll go over both of them here. So next, your heart needs imputed righteousness. Your heart needs imputed righteousness. Now, I usually try to avoid more technical theological terms if there's a simpler way to say it. But I'm using the word imputed here because I think there's an important distinction here, and we need to understand the difference. And commentators on this passage are sharply divided on what Paul means here by righteousness. There's a big argument about, is he talking about our imputed righteousness? The righteousness that Christ gives to us when we believe in Him? That perfect record of Jesus' righteousness that's applied to our account the moment that you're saved? Is Paul talking about that imputed righteousness, or is he talking about what's sometimes called imparted righteousness, which is the righteous things that we do because of the power that God gives us through His Holy Spirit, the righteous way you live your life? And there's this big argument about, is Paul saying that we're protected by Jesus' righteousness that is applied to our account, or is it the righteous things that we do that protect us? But then there are others who would say, and I think I agree, that you can't really in practice separate the two of those things. We do need to make a distinction sometimes, theologically, between Christ's righteousness imputed to us and the righteous things we do. But in practice, they are never separated. A person who has the imputed righteousness of Christ will have imparted righteousness, that righteous lifestyle. To put it another way, everyone who truly believes will live a changed life. Not a perfect life, but a changed life. And so that's all to say, I think that what Paul is saying here is we are protected by both imputed righteousness, that righteousness applied to our record, and the righteous things that we do. So what is this imputed righteousness I'm talking about? How does that protect us and protect our emotions? As I've said already, imputed righteousness is Jesus' perfect righteous record applied to your account. If you want to think of it this way, there's a file with Jesus' record in it, Jesus' file, and your file with your sins in it. And Jesus, when you believe, Jesus takes His perfect record and puts it in your file and takes your sins and puts it in His file. That's the imputed righteousness of Christ. Paul refers to this righteousness in Philippians 3, verse 9. He says, "Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." He says there's a righteousness that you receive by faith that has nothing to do with how well you personally have kept the law. When you believe in Jesus, He gives you this righteousness. I think the most beautiful picture, the most vivid picture we have of this in the Bible comes from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. If you'd like to turn there, it's on page 794, the Bible's provided. I won't be able to go through all the details of this passage, but Zechariah 3 verses 1 through 10 records a vision that Zechariah saw. And the beginning of that vision says, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing in his right hand to accuse him." Zechariah says that Joshua, the high priest of God's people, is standing there in God's presence wearing filthy clothing. His clothes are filthy, and he's standing there in God's presence with Satan ready to accuse him. But then the angel of the Lord commands that the filthy clothes be taken away and that he be given clean clothes, that his sin will be taken away and that he be given righteousness. That's a picture of what happens when you believe in Jesus Christ. That your sins, whatever they are, whatever you've done in the past, is taken away. You are given the righteousness of Christ in that moment. And this vision also helps us see how this affects spiritual warfare. Because as I said, Satan was standing there ready to accuse him. Satan is an accuser who loves to bring to mind your past sins. Who loves to bring to mind your guilt, the bad things that you've done in the past. But when you have the imputed righteousness of Christ, when you no longer have the filth of your sin on you anymore, Satan can no longer accuse you before God. Even though he will try, you can say, "No, I am forgiven. I am righteous in God's eyes because of what Christ has done for me." That's how the imputed righteousness of Christ is a breastplate. It guards your emotions against the despair that Satan tries to drive you into. That doubt he tries to plant in your mind about whether you really are forgiven. So when does Satan bring to mind your past sins? When does he attack you about your past sins? Do you ever get down thinking about all the ways that you failed, or all the awful things that you may have done in the past? Friends, put on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. If you have been forgiven by him, if you believe in him, you have been given his perfect record, and Satan has no right to accuse you. And I don't say this lightly, because I know that there are many sins that we've committed that it's hard to believe that God can forgive you for them. But God forgives sin. That's the good news of the gospel. Your sin is forgiven through Jesus Christ, and you have his righteousness to protect you. If you get down about your past sin, if you can't help stop, if you can't stop rehearsing over and over again those sins that you've committed, I would encourage you to memorize some of these passages that speak of this forgiveness and imputed righteousness of Christ. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Or 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Memorize something like this and from God's word. Hold on to those promises so that in those moments when Satan tries to attack you and tell you that you're not really forgiven for those sins, that you can respond with this righteousness of Christ, this forgiveness that you have through him. Now, if you are here this morning, but you haven't asked God to forgive you for your sin, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ, then you do not have this protection of Christ's righteousness. But this message of the imputed righteousness of Christ, this free offer, is the best news you will ever hear. Here today, whatever you have done in the past, if you confess your sin through Jesus Christ, you will receive his perfect record in that moment. And you can be forgiven. So don't wait. Don't leave yourself open to those attacks of the devil. Don't leave that guilt, that filth of your sin on yourself. Cry out to God for forgiveness and receive that joy of salvation. Now, part of the good news of salvation is that God doesn't just give us imputed righteousness. He also works in your life to give you righteousness in your own walk, to help you to live a more righteous, to give you the power to live a more righteous life. And that is a protection for your heart as well. So thirdly, your heart needs imparted righteousness. Your heart needs that imparted righteousness that I was talking about earlier. As we've gone through the book of Ephesians here together, we've seen over and over again that salvation by faith leads to a more faithful life. That foundation of our salvation is that salvation by grace through faith. It's that salvation, that imputed righteousness, but we've seen over and over again that that leads then to a call to live a more faithful life, to walk worthy of that calling. And we don't always talk this way, but friends, there is a real sense in which you and I do righteous deeds as a follower of Jesus Christ. God gives you the power to do righteous things, even though they are never perfect. When the Spirit works in your life, you put on that new self and you do these good deeds, even though they aren't perfect. Now, even though we do these righteous things, we know that it's all by grace, that they are a gift from God. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Even the good things that we do are by grace. It's God gives us that righteousness to do. That's why we call it imparted righteousness. He's given it to us to do. So how do these righteous works that we do, these good deeds that God gives us the power to do, how do they protect your heart? How is that righteousness that we do part of your spiritual armor? Well, one very simple way is that if you are walking in righteousness, it gives the devil fewer ways to attack you about your guilt for sin. We've already seen that imputed righteousness protects us even if we do sin, even when we do sin. But if you do resist temptation, if God gives you that power to say no to sin, that's one fewer opportunity that the devil has to try to bring that guilt to mind, to try to attack you about that sin. It's just one more reason to choose to do the right thing and to not do the wrong thing. But there's another way that our own righteousness that God gives us the power to do protects you from attacks. And that's this imparted righteousness also helps give you assurance of salvation. This is what 1 John chapter 2 says. 1 John 2 verses 1 through 6 goes through this, and I don't have time to go over all of that. It starts by saying that if we do sin, we have a covering through Jesus Christ. That's it, that imputed righteousness. But then it says in verse 3, 1 John 2 verse 3, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." By this we know that we've come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Now, good works are not the only source of confidence that we're saved. In fact, we should base our assurance on the promises of God. That's our firm foundation. But it certainly helps when you see that God is working in your life, that He's changing you, that you don't do some of the sins in the same way that you used to. Think about it this way. Before you're saved, the Bible talks about you as being, about all of us being dead in sin, being unable to please God. And so when you've been forgiven through Jesus Christ and He's working in your life and you see that you're able to resist sin, you're able to say no to sin through the power of the Holy Spirit, that should give you a hope and a confidence that God is working in you, a protection against that doubt and that despair, that discouragement that Satan will try to bring against you. When Paul says to put on the breastplate of righteousness, part of what he's saying is to resist temptation and to live a righteous life. He's saying, don't sin. Resist those temptations. It helps in spiritual warfare to live more righteously. As I've been talking about this sin and these temptations that we face, maybe there's something that's been coming to mind for you. A struggle you've been facing, a temptation that you've been struggling with. And it's getting you down. You're becoming discouraged. Maybe for you, you keep getting sinfully angry. Or you keep lying to get what you want. Or maybe for you it's crude joking, or you're making selfish choices all the time. That we've covered a lot of these things in the last few months here in Ephesians. But let this verse here, this idea of the breastplate of righteousness, be one more motivation to put off that old way of doing things, to put off that old self, to put on the new self that God is giving you through Jesus Christ. When you choose to do what's right, when you say no to sin, the devil can't use that sin against you. The more you live faithfully, the more you see how God is working in you, and the more defense you have against discouragement and despair. If you're discouraged, there is real value in living the simple, faithful life that God has called you to. We sometimes get caught up in some of the more complex questions of what's right and what's wrong, and what's right on the edge, and is this right or is that wrong? But there are many things that God has told you to do that are fairly simple. It may not be easy to do, but the commands are simple. Do what you know is right. Do simple acts of service for others. Pray for the people on the prayer list we send out every week. Come to worship. Work hard at the work that you've been given to do. Read your Bible. Love God and love your neighbor. All of this is part of the breastplate of righteousness, that imparted righteousness that God gives us through Jesus Christ and by His Spirit. Friends, Satan is gunning for your heart. He will try to use your emotions against you and bring you down. But God, Jesus, has given you protection against those attacks. He's given you His perfect, imputed righteousness, that perfect record on your account, so that you can say with confidence, when Satan says to you, God can't love a sinner like you, God can't really forgive you again, you can say, yes, He can, and yes, He has, because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and nothing can separate me from the love of God. But Jesus has also given you imparted righteousness, those good works He's given you to do. And every time you make that choice to do what's right, to say no to sin, Satan loses another chance to get at you that way. He's given you that breastplate of righteousness. So friends, protect your heart with God-given righteousness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you to praise you today because of the great news of salvation through Jesus Christ. The best news that we'll ever hear, that you forgive sin and that you give the imputed righteousness of Christ freely. So Lord, we thank you for that salvation and we ask that you would help us to remember that salvation. Remember that righteousness you've given to us in those moments when our emotions are under attack and we feel down. And even if we would say that we know these things, that you would give us a full assurance of them, that we would have a protection against these emotional attacks. Lord, we thank you that in all these things we know that these temptations, these attacks will come to an end. We look forward to that day when we will live in perfect righteousness with you in the new heavens and the new earth. But until that time, Lord, please encourage us and strengthen us for this war that we're in. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.